You're listening to the Hijab Forum podcast, a podcast that inspires creatives to make meaningful content to pursue their passions. My name is Manira, and I am the creator of the Hijab Forum, and I sit down with entrepreneurs and everyday people to talk about their processes, the lessons they've learned, and how to make an impact. So grab your favorite jersey hijab, underpiece that most likely will slip off anyway, and get ready to amplify your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hijab Forum. My name is Manira, as you guys already know, and today we have our special guest, Fatima. Fatima, where are you at?
I'm here.
Okay, well, let's get some intros done. So give our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, before I start, I just want you guys to know that I have a cold, or it may be allergies. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm sorry.
Anyway. I'm sure they'll forgive you. Maybe not today, but just kidding. Okay, well, do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown as to what you wanted to discuss today?
Okay, so, well, my name is Fatima. Let me introduce myself. I'm a nurse. I work full-time, well, full-time hours, but I have a busy schedule. I'm always working, like always working. And yep, so today, Munira, you requested for me to talk about fitness, so I'm here today to talk about fitness.
Great. Yeah, there's been an influx of questions. I asked a few questions a while back, and people all talked about how it's hard for them to get into it because they feel like being a Muslim and a female are two barriers. So maybe we can kind of ease that mindset for our listeners who are interested in finding out more about what you do and how you go about it. So, okay, well, now that we got a bit of a brief rundown on who you are, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you do in the gym, and what made you kind of get into fitness?
I started about 2 years ago, but there is 1 year where I just wasn't seeing any results. So I don't usually count that year. It's about a year, approximately a year, that I've started working out. And I started working out because of an incident, actually, that happened at work. One of my patients, I had to do CPR on them. So normally when you do CPR, it's expected, or I don't know what the word to use for this, but it's preferred, actually. It's preferred to have two people do CPR on a person, only because it's tiring. Mm-hmm. I guess not a lot of people, if you're in the healthcare field, then you'll understand what I'm talking about, but it's actually very tiring. So I had to relieve one of my colleagues who was doing CPR. She was doing compressions. Mm. So it was my turn.
I feel like I'm in Grey's Anatomy. Continue.
So as I started doing CPR, and I kid you not, it felt like hours, but it must have been only 20 seconds that I was doing. And I felt so tired, like I couldn't do it anymore, but I continued. I had no choice but to continue, but I was sweating. And at that point, that's when I realized that I was really out of shape.
Yeah.
For those that know me, I'm fairly slim. I'm very slim, but I'm what you call skinny fat. So that does exist. Skinny fat exists. So you have more fat in your body than you have muscle. And that's what, you know, that's what my body type was at the time. I had more fat than muscle, but it was hard to notice the fat composition that I had in my body, only because I'm slim. So not a lot of people would see it, but I saw it.
Yeah.
My doctor saw it. So I was not healthy at all. So that's why I started going to the gym.
Wow. So that's, yeah. I mean, imagine, it was literally life or death for you, the reason why you started. So mashallah for that you saw that as a wake-up call for you, especially in your field, to kind of use that skill and technique by gaining muscle and gaining strength to help others, literally, physically. So good on you for noticing that as one of your
weaknesses and ways to improve being something this good for you at the same time, right? Yeah. So when this happened to you, how long ago was this?
This was a few years ago. This wasn't that recent. I mean, there's obviously other reasons why I started, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say.
Yeah. So
that was like my wake up call. I was like, you know, Fatma, like it's time for you to like get some strength, like something, because I will not survive in this job if I can't even do CPR. But you know what? That person survived.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Survived. The paramedics came in time and that person survived. But still, like, it could have gone much worse than that. And I don't think I would have been able to live with that guilt knowing that it was me. Mm-hmm. This was a few years ago, maybe 3 years, I believe 3 years ago. So after that incident happened, it just took me time to just kind of think. Like, I spent a lot of time just thinking about fitness. I was on Instagram a lot. I was going on Google researching, looking to see maybe I can start something or join a class. But yeah. I realized that nothing kind of appealed to me, because everything that they were promoting on Instagram, it was all fat loss. And I wanted to build, I mean, I did want to lose fat, but I also, my priority was building muscle and gaining strength.
Yes.
And I also realized that there was not a lot of Muslim females. Like, it was very, the numbers are so small. Every time you go on Instagram, you see like these girls with like sports bras and like, mm-hmm. tight leggings, and I'm just like a sigh.
Yeah, a dress code is literally one of the biggest barriers for Muslim women, I find. And even for yourself, like, you weren't even doing it the traditional way. Why people go to the gym usually is for weight loss or even fat loss. Mm-hmm. For you, it was complete other side, where it's like muscle gain maybe. But you need to build it, right? So you have to eat more calories than the regular person who was looking to lose weight. That's very unique, and I'm glad that you didn't find that as a barrier to just stop completely, because you didn't find a match for yourself. You made that match. So can I just give you a little shout out for your Instagram, because mashallah, she's amazing, guys. She literally has a fitness, well, it started off as your personal page, but you decided to kind of make it a place for you to express to others who might have the same problem, what it means to work out as a Muslim, and also to work out to gain muscle, and not necessarily to lose fat. So in that sense, then, can we talk about your diet plan, or if you even have a diet plan, and what does that mean to you?
So I sort of have a diet plan. I'm building muscle and I'm trying to gain weight. So my diet plan is a bit different than those that will be losing weight. So for me, I'm on a calorie surplus. So my diet mainly consists of a lot of food, a lot of snacking, but I try my best to eat as clean as possible. So I'm not too restrictive with the foods that I eat. There are some days where I'll get a chocolate bar, and, you know, I don't feel guilty, because honestly, to me, I feel like consistency is the key, and mm-hmm. I don't want to completely get rid of one thing. And because to me, that's a lot harder. I want to slowly build up to like tea, for example. I used to drink tea every single morning with like two tablespoons of sugar. And it was I couldn't do, I don't even know where I even got this habit from, because I never used to do this before, but you know, as you age, you need something. But tea was my go-to. So eventually what I started doing was, I still had my tea, but I would kind of lessen the sugar one day, or like the next day I won't have tea.
Yeah.
So it was like, I slowly, and this was very slow, like very, very slow, I slowly cut down on the amount of sugar that I put in the tea. And then eventually, now, like, if I have tea, if I don't have tea, it doesn't affect me in any way.
That's really good. And that's the other thing, right? Where people, when they want to cut something out and they see on Instagram or wherever to cut out sugar, they think it's literally cut it out the next day, no, tomorrow, no more sugar. And that makes it harder on even your mind to kind of adjust. And I like the gradual loss that you've done, where you gradually kind of took away a little bit to the point where you just used what you needed or what you desired. And it probably wasn't the two spoonfuls you were doing prior, right? It was much significantly less, but also giving you the same satisfaction of your tea. If it was tea that you continued drinking.
I mean, now I don't really need to drink. I mean, tea is just a small example. It could be anything. When you go on Instagram and you see the diet plans that some people have, the food does not look appealing. It does not look appetizing. A lot of people don't understand that these people have been working out for years. Mm-hmm. And they have been doing this for a very long time. So for them, it's really easy. But for somebody like me, starting something like that, like a meal plan, was very difficult because I wanted to eat like they ate, but I was fairly new. So I started doing everything very slowly. The food that we eat at home is all homemade. It's fairly healthy. We don't use, just naturally, my family doesn't use a lot of salt in the food.
Yeah.
Not a lot of oil. We always have like alternatives.
Yeah.
Because high blood pressure and high cholesterol runs in my family. So that was already, I just tried my best to eat at home. The biggest thing for me was pizza. That is
very wow. That's yes, it's kind of like a guilty pleasure where we kind of celebrate every day as pizza day. But yes, continue.
So pizza till now is the hardest thing for me. I can't slowly phase pizza out of my life. That is just one thing that I know I could never do. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie, like my diet plan may not be the best diet plan for somebody that is losing weight, but it works for me. It works for me.
Well, that's good because I guess you have different goals you're achieving. And for you, it worked because it was in your favor to increase your caloric intake as opposed to somebody who didn't need the high calorie count to get the same-ish results. I hope that makes sense to everyone listening. But no, what you did was, it was good for you. It worked for you in your benefit. And that's technically all that matters. When you find a specialized plan that works in your favor for your body, then by all means, stick to it. And when people ask about, I guess, when they ask you about what you eat, you always have to have that weird disclaimer where it's like, well, don't do this because I don't think we have the same end goal. Do you find that as something that you have to keep kind of putting out there when people ask about what you eat?
I try my best to let them know that just because I'm eating, like there's a difference between eating a lot. It doesn't mean that I'm eating a lot of like burgers or a lot of eating cleaner. So like I have a lot of substitutes. I eat a lot of nuts. So my calorie intake is a lot higher, but it's actually easier eating less than eating more.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, because you have to kind of find more things that are good and clean to eat.
Yes, it's like sometimes I'm just so full and I'm just like, oh, I didn't meet the day. Like, I'm so full. Like, it's hard. It's not easy. Eating less is so much more easier. And you know what? Work, that's even better. So if you have like a demanding job and eating, like if you're somebody that's trying to lose weight and you have a job, that part is actually so easy. Because working is very distracting. It distracts you from wanting to eat or wanting, sometimes like you forget. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Even working a desk job, I used to work a desk job for many years and you still forget to eat. You're not even moving and you forget to eat because your mind's always moving and you have to stay focused long enough to even last throughout the day. And then you realize you haven't even drank a cup of water or taken a sip of your water bottle that was right beside you. No, but I completely agree with that. Increasing your calories. Taking any kind of extra steps to increase your intake is harder when you have so many things to think about at the same time.
The best thing is, say you are at work, I think you have to trick your mind. So if you buy healthy foods, that you get like a bunch of strawberries and you leave it at your desk,
yeah,
you will eat it.
Okay.
Because you're too, a lot of the times, you're just too lazy to go out and eat something. So just make sure everything you have in front of you is healthy. So whenever you do go back to your desk, you'll just kind of take a few nuts here, some strawberries or some fruits or whatever you have, and then you're on your way. Well, I work as a nurse, so I don't usually stay seated.
Yeah.
When I do come back to my desk, I'll have like a bunch of nuts, and I'm already hungry. Like, I know that I'm hungry, mm-hmm. but when you're hungry, you're not picky.
Yeah, that's true. Shout out to Ramadan for teaching us that step, but go on. Yeah.
So that's what I do. I'll keep like a bunch of nuts or like, or fruits near my desk. So when I do come back, I'll just pop some in my mouth and I'm on my way.
Okay. Well, that's good that you have a system.
Yes.
And do you like pack little baggies of finger foods, or do you like, I guess, package them in little containers? What's easier for you? Because I feel like you can carry the little Ziplocs better than you can carry around the whole little container.
What I do is I leave a lot of my stuff there. I don't have to take it with me. So mm-hmm. like, I'll take like a whole bag of nuts or like a bunch of granola bars or snacks, not my actual meal.
Yeah.
And I leave it at work. So I wouldn't have to, like every time I want something, I'll just take maybe a handful. I'll put it in a bag, but I leave most of that stuff at work. I also have protein powders that I need. So if ever I need like a supplement or like a boost, I'll take like a scoop, put it in my water bottle or the bottle that I have, and I have that. I don't like the whole back and forth. I'm very lazy. So yeah. Whatever I can do to make things easier for me, I'll do. So I leave a lot of the food at work.
That's good too. I mean, if you have a fridge there too, that really helps, because yeah. if you're there, I feel like we spend more time at work than we spend at home anyway. So by leaving it in your fridge, like bringing it home every night thinking you're going to eat it, chances are you're not going to eat it. You just came off a really long shift. Being a nurse, you're on your feet. You just want to sit down somewhere when you get home or take a shower. These are all assumptions, of course, but you don't want to think about making a meal or like getting to the kitchen. You might as well just eat what you have at work the next day. You already have the prepack, it's already there. There's no bringing it back and forth anyway.
Yep. I keep peanut butter there. I have cereal there.
Nutella? Question mark?
No. You're going to hate me for saying this, but I'm not. I like Nutella, but I'm not like, if it's not there, it doesn't bother me.
Damn. Okay. Cool. No, that's fine. Nutella is my guilty pleasure. I think we all need to have one. Hopefully everyone else out there doesn't think I'm nasty for eating Nutella as well. But that's good. I like this. Okay, well, so now let's get to the meat and bones. Working out as a Muslim. So just for your awareness, guys, Fatima wears a full hijab and she also dresses very modestly, like her day-to-day style. So using that as a reference point, try picturing a Muslim female in a gym. She lives in a big city, so it's not hard to find different gyms, but at the same time, most gyms, we have that persona of them being filled with like meaty, muscly men, and they just want to stare at you as you walk past and you feel awkward no matter what you wear. So for you, Fatima, what do you find awkward about working out, and what do you use to combat that to make yourself as comfortable as possible if it's not an all-female gym?
I don't work out at an all-female gym.
Okay, that's good. I didn't know that. So there you go, guys. Go on.
Simply because most of the female gyms that we have in Toronto, they close by a certain time, mm-hmm. and they're not always most of the mixed gyms are open 24/7, but they're mixed. And because of my schedule, it's uh-huh. hard to get around that. Like, I won't be able to, unless I get up at like 6 a.m., which yeah. I won't do that. This was the only choice for me. Like, my biggest issue and my biggest fear was people staring at me or people watching me.
Yeah.
go to the gym, if you're an actual gym goer, no one looks at you. No one stares at you because nobody cares. Like, nobody cares to look at you. And if they do look at you, you're probably doing something wrong. Like, maybe your pants are off. And then they'll be like, miss, try doing it this way.
But okay.
It's, no one looks at you. And I haven't noticed anyone staring at me. No one has ever. I've had people approach me, like, because sometimes when you're working out, you're so frustrated. So people approached me saying, you know, just, you can do it. Two more sets. Like, you know, you can do it. But staring wise, no.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's refreshing.
Yes. That's a, I don't know. Maybe nobody just wants to look at me. I don't know. But no one has ever
said. No, she's attractive, guys. You guys have any? I'm kidding. No, but mashallah, that's good, because I used to live in Toronto, guys, and it was hard for me. Like, I would opt out for a gym where they had the female side, and even those, like, you have to walk through the men's side to even get to the back, and that's where they usually kind of keep you, but then they don't have all the equipment. I don't know if you've been to the gyms, you've seen the Good Life in Toronto. And even then you still have like a few equipment that you really want, like, say you want to do stairs, you have to come out to the shared area, the co-ed air space, and use the stairs there. And then imagine you're on the stairs, you're already awkward about being in the men's side, now you have to literally physically climb stairs with all your might and strength, huffing and puffing, and then there's men. So how do you, like, that was my biggest struggle. So what you're saying now is what you witnessed is usually they look at you to help you to see you doing something completely off, but that's why they're usually staring at you, is that what your experience is generally?
Yeah. I've never had anybody like stare or like give me like uncomfortable. No one has really approached me or said, or even spoken to me outside of gym stuff. Everything was related.
So, I like that. But
I'm not going to pretend like I'm still not awkward. I am. But once you start going to the gym, you have different fears.
Yeah.
So the fears now that I have is, what if I'm doing something wrong? Because a lot of the people working out, they're like pushing like crazy weight. And here I am with like, you know, measly 20 pounds. So I feel awkward. I don't want people like looking at me like, and like judging me like, oh my gosh, she's only pushing 20 pounds. So that became my new fear. People judging me for how weak I am. So I'm just, that's like my new fear. However, what I do, because of my work schedule, the only time that I allotted myself to go to the gym is after work. So that's like around midnight. So even if you are cautious, or if you're still that type of person, like, honestly, this insecurity, it takes a while for it to go away. Midnight is literally the best time to go because nobody's there. Nobody. Mm.
Okay. So, and then you don't work like crazy early morning hours, I'm assuming, because working out at midnight means you don't have to be somewhere at 9 a.m. Unless you do.
It depends. Like, it just depends on what my work schedule is. So that's how I scheduled my gym routine, to go at night or to go late.
Okay. Nobody,
and you know, when there's a lot of people there, sometimes like it gets very distracting because there's just too many people. And then next thing you know, you have to wait for like the machine and you're wasting time. So I'm not trying to say that. I mean, everybody's busy. You know what I mean? Some people have kids that they're trying to go home to. So it's best to go to the gym at a time where you know you can get a quick workout in and go.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And obviously you're not going to work out for 3 hours. Some people, I think that's what they assume when you're going to the gym. They prepare themselves for a long workout. But you know, you and I both know that you don't run for more than, if you're going to use a treadmill, it's like 20 minutes, and that's even pushing it. If you're looking just to do a little bit of cardio before you start actually like lifting and all that. So, and you know, when you're doing a couple of sets, it's already 30 minutes goes by so fast and you've done so much that you're ready to go home within the hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So what do you wear? Do you find yourself stuck in the limbo to make yourself comfortable, loose fitting, but also not over, like with your hijab? I know you don't show your neck either. So how do you find that balance in that respect?
I don't know how other hijabi women who lift, I don't know how they do it, because sometimes it does get difficult, because I do follow a few Muslim like fitness trainers, or like social media influencers, and they look so, whatever they're wearing is so flattering, like it's so
yeah,
and I don't know how they do it, because for me, I want to look cute sometimes, but most of the time there's nothing cute about working out.
Yeah,
so that's one thing. That
no makeup, guys, you should not wear makeup when you're working out. No. Just saying, but go on.
Exactly. So no makeup. I know some people do wear makeup, but I don't wear makeup to the gym. And it's just, you're sweating so much, so it doesn't make sense for you to try to look cute, because there's no, you have gym face, like you, when you're running, like, I don't know about you, but when I run, I don't look cute. Like, I'm just panting and like my mouth is open sometimes.
It's not the Khloe Kardashian where she looks cute regardless when she's working out. You got to have that workout face where you're like, I don't care what I look like. You're going to hop in the shower anyways. You got to rinse off, and then you got to look cute afterward. But during, I don't think that's not your intention. You're not, unless of course you have a gym bae, or if you have a gym crush, but then if you're already awkward about it, nah,
some take people, care of yourself. As a woman, it's just natural to always want to look pretty or want to look cute. But like,
that's yes,
that I had to accept from the beginning. But with regards to my clothes, I wear a lot of men clothing.
Okay.
I always felt that men just have better options when it comes to like sweats, for examples, or even sweaters. Like every time you go to any clothing store and you look at the section of clothing for men and women, the selection of just sweatpants alone for men is like so much. They have so many options, so many styles. Yep.
Okay.
They have a lot of baggy options. But for females, now when you go shopping, I believe like through maybe the last 5 years, like every time as time changes, like women's clothing just gets smaller and smaller and tighter.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a lot of rips and cuts, and that's why I don't generally like shopping.
It's dumb.
Sometimes I just want a long shirt that covers my bum. That's it. And only men have that option. Like if you go to the men's section, you'll find so much shirts that are like high, low. So just get a size small. That's what I do. I'll small.
Like, yeah. And then that way you're not worried. I mean, well, yeah, a small, because if you're buying it in person too, you can try it on in the store.
Yes. Yes. But you know what? There's a lot of Muslim brands that sell athletic wear for females.
Yeah.
It's a bit pricey, but yeah. I'm down for supporting anything and everything Muslim. So I have some long sleeve, long or maxi tops.
Yes.
And then I'll just wear leggings, or I'll wear like sweatpants, like regular size sweatpants, and a long sleeve top with like a hood.
Yeah.
The hoods are like fairly small, so even if I don't have a hijab, it covers my neck and it covers my my hair. But I'm always afraid that it's gonna fall off. So what I started doing, and this does not look cute in any way, shape, or form. It actually looks really ugly, but I do it anyways because I don't care. I have a headband that I wear on my hijab. So I put on my hijab.
Okay.
I started putting on a headband. So if my hijab kind of gets loose, it still stays on my head.
You know what? That's a game changer right now, guys. So what you're saying is you wear the hijab and then you wear like a headband. Is it like the Dollarama, like the dollar store ones, are you saying? Or are there certain ones you found that have worked better than others?
Well, the one that I use is just a thin, it's Nike. I got, it was on sale and I just picked that up.
Mm.
I have another one that my cousin, well, actually I stole from my brother, but it's thin. So I just kind of put that on my head. So it just keeps my hijab in place. I also wear hats and I wear a hijab, but the hat that I have is like a backless cap. So, so you can put your bun, like you just tie
it. Yeah.
Goes, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it's backless.
Never seen them before, but I see the reason why it's backless for you, because for those of us who have hair that you got to put in a bun, it's annoying if you're at the gym and you're sweating, and like, or even if you're wearing a hat in general, you have to kind of work around the bun.
Yeah, if you have quite a bit of hair, and if you tie it in a bun, wearing a hat is hard because you kind of have to put it in like a low bun, but sometimes even that is like hard. Mm-hmm. So this one, it almost looks like a visor, but it's not a visor.
Oh, I seen you wear it on your Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. It's just a regular cap. You know what? Actually, Beyonce launched.
What? Ivy Park?
Yeah, it's hers is red though, and she has like different colors, and one was velvet. That's actually what I wanted initially when I saw that Beyonce launched the backless cap, but it was always sold out. So I found one on Amazon. It was just a knockoff.
That's fine. It does the job. Shout out to Beyonce lovers out there, but at the same time, girl, if you need something and it's not there, you got to go with Plan B.
I'm down. I don't care for knockoffs. Like, and I'm not a brand chaser. I do have some brand name stuff, but I noticed that Old Navy leggings are the best leggings that I've ever purchased, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? The Forever 21 one, guys, if you're buying them for $4, they only lasted like 3 months max, and we wear them every day. So I'm going to try out the Old Navy ones just for a comparison, because I always find myself replacing them every 3 to 4 months. And it's kind of annoying.
I actually beat my Nike pair.
Oh, really? This is Old Navy, like Old Navy, Old Navy?
Old Navy, Old Navy.
Okay.
Old Navy.
All right, and then. So that's a new one.
Well, something. I don't remember what it's called, but I always wear those leggings. I need to stock up on more.
Yeah, you're telling me. Well, might as well start an online shopping thing cart while I'm talking to you right now. By the way, guys, her style is impeccable. If you do follow the team on Instagram, we will have her information in the show notes, and we will give her a promo at the end, but a shout out at the end, sorry. But she has really good style, and she's super tall, so you can see the full effect of her dresses, her skirts, her tops, her hijabs, mashallah. So you'll find that at the end. We'll give out her info. You guys can check her out and follow her and tell her we sent you. So one last question that I really thought was interesting, because when I was even trying to figure out what to ask you today, I thought about Ramadan. I keep saying Ramadan, sorry, Ramadan. So during Ramadan, how did you, well, first of all, were you working out while you were fasting, or was it after you broke your fast, after iftar, or was it that you were working out, and how did you find a way to combat hunger or even your energy levels? What did you do during this time?
It was hard. It was actually very hard. Finding a system was one of the first things that I had to do, because I didn't want to just stop working out, because I didn't want to make any losses with, because I've built quite a bit of muscle. So I didn't want to lose any of the muscle that I gained. And when I say quite a bit, like if you look at my page, like you might be like, no, she's still skinny, but I'm currently 145 pounds.
Mashallah.
From 130, and I'm still slim. So that's all the muscle that I gained. Everything was just muscle. So I didn't want to lose that because I worked so hard. So I tried working out before iftar, so maybe about an hour or two before I would break my fast.
Wow. And
honestly, it's not like I have worked out in the past without eating food.
Yeah.
That was early in the morning. Like you just wake up but it was hard for me. I couldn't do it. Like I tried it and it just wasn't for me.
Damn, so, that's crazy. I can't even, first of all, guys, when you're about to break your fast, I live really up north, so I fast for about 20 hours, I want to say. dude, the last thing on your mind is wasting the last bit of energy you have left before you break your fast on working out. So kudos to you. I don't know how you find that little burst at the end to keep going just before iftar. So that's a game changer for people who live in the same zip code or same time zone as you to kind of see that it is possible to still meet your physical needs through working out and still be able to fast for Ramadan.
What I did was, so I tried that. I tried the 1 hour before breaking my fast, and then I tried after iftar, mm-hmm. so like midnight, like the time that I usually go. And I just preferred going at midnight, like after I already I had more energy. And when I did go to the gym, mm-hmm. I was lifting my heaviest weights. I was just, I went fairly light. So I had to research it, obviously, because I'm still a newbie. I'm not a seasoned gym goer, but I had to research it. And I read that the volume of your sets and your weight has to be 25% less. So that's what I had to do. So instead of going really, really heavy, I just went at like fairly heavy, but still light at the same time.
Well, what's heavy? Like, what do you lift normally? And then what did you lift during Ramadan?
So leg extensions, for example, I got up to 115 pounds, which mm-hmm. was really new, which, I mean, I have to remind you guys, I'm still new at this. I'm not a seasoned gym goer, but that was my heaviest. And so during Ramadan, I just went to like 80 pounds and 8 reps. So I didn't go like 12 reps or 15 reps, which I normally do.
Okay.
15 reps. I just kept it at 8 reps. So it was a good burn, but it wasn't too heavy. Mm-hmm. So it was good for me. And the heaviest that I had gone with just specifically leg extensions was 100 pounds. I did not go. I didn't. I was just too scared, you know, because I do work and I didn't want to put myself in a position where I'd be dehydrated or I hurt myself. So I just kept it simple.
You're better than me because even hearing 100 pounds, I'm heading for the door. I haven't worked out for a while, but when I used to go to the gym heavy a couple of years ago, I don't even remember doing, I think 100 was the max I got to. And that's mm-hmm. like on a, like me trying to even get up there because my strength is ridiculously low. Like I have no strength in my arms, in my legs. I would be the first person to break a bone if I fell on ice. So maybe we need to hit the gym together when I'm back in town because got to fix up.
When you're with people.
What was that?
It's fun when you're with people.
Yeah. That was hard for me too, but because I used to work out alone. Maybe that's why my motivation was always kind of meh. So on the talks of motivation, how do you stay motivated? Because if you kind of already are at the goal that you're looking at or you're working towards your goal, how do you stay, I got to half point. I'm good. Nobody cares but me right now. And me right now is tired. How do you stay like, I got to keep going. I got to, like, what are you working towards to make you say, I'm just going to keep doing this?
You know, when I first started working out, I had a goal in mind and I had a body type in mind, but I wanted to look, I had a person that I wanted to look like.
Okay. And
once I started working out, I realized that what's wrong with me wanting to look like me, but improved. There's nothing wrong with me. So I became my new goal, but I just wanted to be more stronger. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be more flexible. So that's my new goal. So what keeps me motivated is when you start working out, you start making friends at the gym or even like outside of the gym. Like sometimes if it pops up in conversation and somebody finds out that you go to the gym a lot or you like fitness, and if that's like your common ground, mm-hmm. some friends, and that person becomes your motivation.
Yes,
I do. Like I'm just not feeling it, I just don't want to go, but I have my friend, you know, Faiza. She'll be like, get your ass up. So she'll say, get up. And yeah. So she'll motivate me. She'll like, get me up. Or, so that happens a lot. And there are days when I'm just feeling so motivated and maybe one of my gym friends don't feel like going, and I'll be like, get up. I'm coming right now and we're going to go together. So you need somebody. It's hard to do it alone.
Yeah. And you need the accountability. I find like when you promise somebody, well, you know what, I'm going to work out 3 days this week and Monday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever schedule you give yourself. And then Monday comes along and then you're like, shoot, like how do I explain to my friend that I'm not going today? You know what? I told her I was going to do it. And then you feel like you have this honor system or like a loyalty code. You just do it. And then, or if you have that fear of like them saying, how was the gym today? You don't want to lie to your friend or the person you made accountable. So you're like, you know what? Let me just go. And then I think after a while it becomes habit. I find like that was one of my things. I'd go after work, but making it a routine where you don't overbear yourself, but you give yourself some time to, I guess, heal and re-up your energy levels to go the next day, then you find that more doable, where it's not like a chore or you're forcing yourself to keep working out even if you're sore.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have anything else that you want to let our listeners know about working out with the hijab, or do you have any other comments to make or any questions for me and our listeners in regards to this topic?
Well, the only comment that I have is for those that want to start, the hardest part is starting. That's actually the hardest part is starting.
I agree.
When you start, it becomes like a hobby. Like you actually like doing it and you'll find like a sense of relief when it comes to like stress. It's a very, very good stress reliever. And it just becomes one of those things where like going to the gym is like a completely different community. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same goal, and that's to be fit. So it's nice to be amongst people that they're not looking at you as, oh, it's a Muslim person.
Yeah.
Or like that girl's wearing a hijab, but they look at you as, oh, she wants to be fit too. Good for her, you know?
Yeah. And then you know what I also find too, like that gives people like this other look on Muslims because they already find us weird for covering up from head to toe. Imagine like seeing somebody let's cover it up, but still working out. That shows you that that's not stopping me from living a normal life like you have, but sorry, do continue.
Yeah. I mean, with regards to that, I feel like I have gotten like looks from some people, like looks of like a smile or like you go girl, like, you know, look like have no excuse. Like you're wearing layers or you're wearing something long sleeve. You must be hot under that, but you're not using that as an excuse. So
yes,
have those like those proud moments, like where they look at you and they just smile and they're like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, you know that you've done them a service of showing them that it's not that serious. Like I could still do what I gotta do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Hopefully people who are in the same predicament that I used to be prior to working out, where I felt like I just never fit and never belonged. It wasn't meant for me. You see advertisements on Instagram of girls with literally nothing on, but they're working out and you feel like, well, if I don't dress like that, then I can't go to the gym to work out like she is. But if you follow Fatima on Instagram, you'll see that she's literally fully dressed, but doing the exact same thing these women are doing on their page. And then you see, okay, well, if she can do it, then what's my excuse? Because that was my excuse. But she just showed me that that's not an excuse. That's not a barrier that you can't overcome. And also, like, there's alternatives. Like, you can always find an all-women's gym. If you live in a big enough city where they cater to people that do want all-women gyms, then kudos to you. I live in a very small town, so they do not, unfortunately, cater to people that look for all women facilities. So I definitely have taken Fatima's advice and I started doing what she does and kind of making my own path and my own lane in a way. And then people will follow your lead, right? Well, or they respect your lead, but they can't tell you no. And if that's the case, then you just kind of do what you got to do. Don't let that stop you from working out and doing what you have to do to get to your ultimate goal. and just be healthy. People think that working out means weight loss. No, it just means living a healthy lifestyle. And you can still eat what you want to eat and do what you got to do. You just got to make sure that your body can keep up and you can live long enough, inshallah. Obviously, you can't pick when you want to die, but you can always put yourself in a better situation to live a quality lifestyle and not just have the years with the bad ending, let's say. But yeah, that's my spiel. Anything else you got for us today?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We will be getting her back on the show, guys. She's not gone forever. We want her to come back and give us some more tips. And we will be recording with some other people and she can guest star with us in that. I definitely will be getting you to do more promos and more recordings with us, Fatima, because you do have a wealth of knowledge, mashallah. And I promised to give you her information so you can take it away with your contact info.
Okay, so my Instagram is ifat, I-P-H-A-T underscore. That's it.
So literally ifat, I-P-H-A-T underscore. And her name is Fatima on there. And you can check out her videos and her just regular lifestyle. She's a funny person too. So you watch her IG stories. They're pretty cool. And that's all I got today. So thanks everyone. Tune in next week for the next episode. I will be letting you guys know on Instagram as well when that will be dropping.
Just because the episode is over doesn't mean you can't continue discussing the topic. We've created a forum that's easy to use right on our website. Also, if you sign up for our mailing list, you will have access to our monthly giveaways. The website is www.hijabforum.com. Once again, it's hijabforum.com. If you liked what you heard today, please rate and review our show on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you're listening. We'll see you next Monday on the next episode of the Hijab Forum podcast.